In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. There's a remarkable story that comes to us. We're not exactly sure when. It's probably sometime in the late 300s that talks about faith in a way, not only in God, but in His body, the church. And it goes something like this. There was a man at one time who wanted to be a priest. He desired it greatly. He felt like God was calling him to this, and he was very, very adamant about the fact that he should be considered for ordination. Well, the time drew near to when the bishop was going to come, and he had been in contact with some people who he thought would have persuasive powers over the bishop. And yet, when he came to the bishop finally, he said, "No, I'm sorry. I'm not going to ordain you. It's not going to happen." And the man was quite perplexed, because he really felt that this was what God was calling him to do, and yet the bishop said, "No, we're not going to do this." Well, the man was not going to be put off. And so he decided to instead fall back on that age-old practice of trying to buy ordination. And so he offered the bishop money, and the bishop took it. The bishop took it and ordained the man, and then sent him out into the world, into the flock. And as time went on, this man grew in the love of the Savior and grew spiritually, so much so that he was revered as a preacher far and wide, that he was a miracle worker. He would lay his hands on people and they would recover from their illnesses. And he was just astonishing at all the things that he did. People loved him. They came to him. They followed him. It seemed like there was nothing this man couldn't accomplish in the name of God, whom he loved dearly. Until finally, there was one time when someone had actually died. And this woman came to him and begged this man to come and try and pray over her dearly departed husband. Well, the priest did this, and he went and he laid his hands on him and prayed over him, and lo and behold, the man rose from the dead. And as soon as he did, he beckoned the priest to come to him, and the priest did. And he walked over to him, and the man whispered something into his ear. And then after that, the priest departed and went away. He was never seen again. And so after many, many years, someone who knew him before actually stumbled across him, hidden away somewhere, way out in the desert, living quietly. And he said, but Father, why are you here? So, you know, people wondered where you went. Everybody loved you. Other things that you did, you disappeared. And yet, here you are, hidden away. No one's seen you for years. What happened? And the priest said, well, were you not there the day that the man rose from the dead? And the guy said, yes, I was. He said, well, I saw him whisper something in your ear. What did he say? And the priest said, well, this man who rose from the dead came up and whispered into my ear, you were not called to the priesthood. This was not what God wanted you to do. And so the man, the priest, hearing these astonishing words after all that had happened, and of course knowing the way that he came in to the priesthood, relinquished it and went away and tried his best to obey what the will of God was. This is an amazing story to me, because number one, it shows that God can work through we who make erroneous choices and perhaps do bad things. He brings these things all together for good. And in fact, in the case of this aberrant clergyman who bought his way into the episcopacy, we don't know what happened to that bishop. I don't even want to guess. that God was able to work miracles through this man. Yet when the time came, he said, you were not obedient to the will of God. You went your own way. You had a lack of faith. Well, in today's gospel, we see two blind men, of course, that actually were obedient to God. They were two people who knew of Jesus some way or the other, called out his name, followed the Lord to the house he went to, and the Lord says to them, you know, do you think that I can do what I'm about to do? And they said, yes, Lord. And he said, well, be it done according to your faith. So they were obedient in terms of what they were seeking from the Lord. They were enlightened. This priest, of course, also ultimately received enlightenment, although it was after he had to lay down what he was so convinced that God was calling him to. And we struggle, don't we all, with the will of God in our lives. What does God want me to do in this life? And I was speaking with someone yesterday who is in a rather difficult situation about a number of things, and the easy road for them would be to simply go the way that they want to go, thinking, well, I've only got one life, you know, live it to the fullest, all these kinds of things. And I told this person, well, but you know, you really have to think about this, because that's the pull that we all have in this day and age to do what we want to do. We've only got one shot, right? Only one shot at it. And yet that displays a manifest lack of faith, because what we should be concerned about is doing God's will. What does He want us to do? Because if we pursue our own desires and our own ends, it inevitably ends up in a situation where we get burned out on it. Life and its pleasures and the things, the allurements that we all face, are never enough, ultimately. We think that they are, but we go from one to the other, building up one after the other, never seeking the one thing needful. And in the case of this priest, the one thing needful was for him to accept what the will of the church was coming through the mouth of that bishop, although that bishop was not a good man in many ways. But if he had done that, then he would have been fulfilling the will of God. Fortunately, God gave him a second chance. But that second chance was to give up everything. And for us, we are also called to that same type of life. Maybe not to give up everything, but to give up our own wills. We are so pulled into so many things these days. I mean, my goodness, you think about it and all the demands that are made upon us and upon our children. You know, is it really necessary for our children to be involved in every activity ever invented every single day of the week? Is that really something that's necessary for them? Is that going to make them into fuller, more grounded human beings? Probably not. Probably not. And that old, well, it's not so old, but the thing that I love to rail against, because I think it's perhaps the biggest temptation we all face these days, social media, where we say things on social media that we wouldn't ever think of doing with probably our two or three neighbors at our own cul-de-sac. I mean, where does that start? The things that I've read, well, I'm really feeling constipated today. I've seen that on Facebook. I mean, what in the world? Things that we reveal about ourselves in a situation where the few would never get to hear it, but now it's out there and the millions can. It doesn't make any sense. Do people always need to know? Does the world, is it such a necessity for them to know every move you make every day of the week? It's craziness. It's craziness. This sort of thing is not settling in to the will of God. And that's why these are distractions. That's why we need to pull away from so many of these things that draw us out and to be more reflective, to be more what the fathers call sober-minded. You know, the fathers always talked about things that when we're trying to discern the will of God, we should give it three shots. we should be, if we're feeling somehow that we're tempted by something or that we're trying to discern it, pray about it. Fast about it. 1, 2, 3 times, and see if by the end of that third time you don't get an answer or you don't achieve some quietness in your soul. You know, we're in the middle of a fast right now. What is the fast supposed to do for us? It's supposed to bring us into a sense of quietude, a sense of self-denial, a sense of not pursuing our every whims, but instead of sitting back and trying to discern the will of God in our lives. This is so vitally important. And we let it go. So many, many times we flounder around. We're like fish out of water, out of the dock, just trying to find water again. And yet we can't find it because we're not still. We're not still. We're not looking for that one thing needful. We just celebrated the Feast of the Transfiguration. We're still in that feast now. We celebrate it through the 13th of this month. And what does that teach us? That teaches us that the glory that the Lord shone on Mount Tabor is the light that He calls all of us to achieve. In heaven, we're all going to have that same brightness, that same glory, if we want it. The important thing is that we don't want it. Again, we're so distracted. There are so many things pulling us in so many directions, my brothers and sisters, and it's not a good thing. We may think that life as we go along is, you know, getting more convenient in many, many ways. I mean, can one of us imagine what it was like, if we remember back that far, when we didn't have cell phones? I've had that same feeling. I get into the car at times. I left my phone in the house, and a sense of panic comes over me. You know, what do I do? What do I do? What if I have a flat tire or an accident or something? There's no more payphones anywhere. What do I do? We can't unglue ourselves from these things that are calling us, that are sucking us into this great vortex of non-meaning, which is what it all is, when in fact the only meaning in any of our lives is that which is found right here. That's it. That is the ultimate meaning that we need to seek for ourselves, that we need to take into ourselves. All these other things are just pulling us away. That doesn't mean we have to ignore them. Doesn't mean we have to become, you know, Luddites or Amish or something like that and retreat and turn off all our power and et cetera, et cetera. No, that's not what it's all about. But what it is all about is keeping all the things, all the gifts that God gives us in proportion to that one thing needful that we all need to pursue in our lives. That's the important thing. That's what we strive for. That's where our centeredness in Christ Jesus comes from. Discerning His will every moment of our lives. Am I on the path, Lord, that You want me to be on? Or am I following some other path? Gee, I sure wish I could have been at the Feast of Transfiguration last Thursday evening or Friday morning, but you know, somebody really needed me for something and I had to go over there and help them. You know, I had to do that. Work is so busy. I had to be there. Not thinking that, well, perhaps if you come to the feast day, maybe the work or the helpfulness would have gotten a little bit easier, because that's the way God works. We put Him first, all things fall into place after that. That is what Orthodox Christianity is about, my dear brothers and sisters. And we all need to see that. We all need to understand that. If we want the blessings of God, we have to seek the blessings of God and to do the things that He wants us to do. That is what salvation is. It's doing His commandments. It's following Him. All other things, as the Scriptures tell us, will be added unto us if we but seek His will. So as we're here today and still radiating in this beautiful light of the Transfiguration, because it is a phenomenal time of the year, and it comes in a fast and sort of serves as the light leading us through the fast up to the Dormition of the Mother of God, which we close out yet another church year. Let's think about this. Let's renew our commitment. Let's come to Christ, who calls us every minute of our lives, and yet we're so noisy, we don't hear it. Stop. Be silent. Discern the will of God. Listen to what the Holy Spirit is telling you, and return to the one who beckons you night and day. Amen.